Hello and welcome to the Spooky Chris podcast. My name is Chris Ringler, your aforementioned Spooky Chris. Today I'm honored to welcome author Sarah Winokur to talk about her newest book, Ivory Bones, The Lewis Chessman Murders. Her book is a mystery thriller set in partially in Iceland, Africa, the Americas. It mixes excitement and mystery with the idea of whether or not we are who our family is, or if we can break away from genetics. She has another book that's out called Double Blind, The Icelandic Manuscript Murders. She is a former geneticist, and she is a cancer thriver after surviving a cancer diagnosis. Super excited to talk to her. Sit back, and I think you'll be excited as well. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chris?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm honored to have you join me. I'm very excited. So let's just kind of dive in. Your newest book, Ivory Bones, just came out. Like, what's that feel
yeah,
like?
Yeah, it feels great. It's the second book that I've written. It's the second in a series. I've already started writing the third one.
Amazing.
But so it just came out almost 2 weeks ago on the 4th.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
What's the reaction been so far? Have you kind of gotten any feeler?
It's gotten really good reviews on Goodreads. So that's always very encouraging, because those are generally people that you do not know. Of course your friends and family might give you reviews, but to get good reviews on Goodreads makes an author feel pretty good.
Absolutely. I appreciate your mindset. Like, I think everybody would love to have, you know, likes to have their family and friends like what they do, but you know, they're invested in you as a person, so it's not like they're going to tell you if it's something's good or bad. So
that is
well, great.
they might, but then they, but before it's written, I mean, my family and a number of friends and other authors did read through it, which is always very helpful, you know.
Absolutely. So you came to writing after a career as a geneticist. Can you, how you got into that field?
Yeah, how I got into genetics.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a interesting journey. So I always had wanted to go into science, especially when I went to college. I think the reason that I went into science was not only because it's pretty rewarding, but I love kind of solving a puzzle and like trying to find a solution to something and putting all the pieces together. And at the same time, you know, being of benefit to real people. So I studied human genetic diseases, and I worked on a number of those human genetic diseases at the University of California in Irvine for 25 years before switching courses and becoming an author.
That's amazing. And I can see why that would lead you towards kind of doing mystery thriller kind of stuff.
Exactly. I mean, of course, you know, I had written quite a number of scientific articles, which need to be very, you know, analytical and precise and factual. So it was a little bit of a leap to jump into writing. This is actually a historical fiction. So there are bits of history in it that are accurate, but it's quite different to write a novel, as it turns out, than writing scientific articles. But I thoroughly enjoyed the challenge.
That's amazing. What made you want to write fiction? Like, what drew you to it?
You know, I had always, in the back of my mind, wanted to do that. But science can be sort of all-encompassing, and I wanted to give my all to it. So I just found that I couldn't devote the time that was necessary to writing a novel. So let's see, how long ago was it? 13, 14 years ago, I actually had quite a bit of a health scare. I'm completely fine now, but it necessitated me like stepping back from doing research at the university. And at that point, I thought, well, this is a perfect time to switch gears and follow my second passion, which was writing.
That's
And then
fantastic.
it just naturally evolved into writing a murder mystery because, as I said, I love a mystery and putting the pieces together and solving puzzles.
That's great. And I'm always curious, what did you read when you were a child?
Well, oh yes, I read all, Nancy Drew, of course, all these detective stories and Harriet. I mean, if you were talking way back, not when I was like 15, but like Harriet the Spy. I don't know if you remember
Oh,
that book
yeah.
at all, where she would like write all this stuff down in her journal, and she was like very observant and kind of an outcast, but I don't know. I just was really taken by these, like, I guess, female or young girl protagonists.
Which is, it's interesting because I'm thinking back, I was a big fan of Encyclopedia Brown. So it's interesting. It's interesting, like with Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, Harriet Spy, like all of these kind of young mystery. It's weird, like I wouldn't have thought about that. But yeah, there's a lot of mystery books for kids back then.
There were, and it's, I mean, I think it's always, well, maybe not for everyone, but it's most people, enjoy sort of trying to solve the mystery on their own as they're reading. And it's very important in my mind to sprinkle little hints throughout the book as to who the villain could be, because there's nothing more frustrating than getting to the end of the book and being totally taken by surprise and never having had a chance to solve the mystery yourself. So I felt that it was important to sort of sprinkle little clues in there, but not make it too obvious. And then also, of course, you throw in a whole bunch of red herrings so that it's not, just clues about this one person, but it could be a number of other suspects.
Were there authors that inspired you, kind of like how you, that kind of set the plate for, the table for how you would wanted to do this, as far as like, how they lead you along for the mystery?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was always very taken. I don't know what it is. I must have some Scandinavian DNA in me, but I am. Was always very drawn to Nordic noir and these Scandinavian novels, like Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. It's not only a mystery, but it's a family saga, and definitely a mystery in there too. And then Henning Mankell, who is also Swedish, that's his are more of like murder mysteries. My novel is not as graphic as some of those Scandinavian writers like Joe Nesbø and so forth. But I think those were, I mean, I just remember reading those books way back then and thinking, yeah, this is something I could do too.
That's awesome. Now, how different was it for you to research, do the research for the books, as opposed to kind of when you had to do scientific research?
Totally different. I felt so both of my books so far, the third book is going to be set in Greenland, but the first two books are set in Iceland. And when I took early retirement from the university from doing genetics research, I decided that I wanted to incorporate a little bit of genetics into the mystery in a very light way, not a textbook, you gotta like learn about genetics, but just in a very light way. And it turned out that my colleague, who is in the office next to mine, was Icelandic. And he told me about a company in Iceland that has a DNA database of almost all, or certainly the majority of its citizens. It's not a criminal database. It's just they've collected DNA so that they can kind of tease out the root causes to a lot of common diseases like heart attacks, diabetes, cancer, and so forth. So he told me about this company, and I thought, I'm going to go check that out because that sounds like an interesting place to start. Because since I wanted to include some genetics in it anyway, so I went there. I was invited to go on a tour, and I met the CEO. And it was at the same time I decided, of course, to take, my time and travel around the country. And I just became enamored by, those eerily beautiful landscapes and the history of Iceland and how kind of quirky their culture is, and you get outside of the capital, which is, like two-thirds of the people live in the capital of Reykjavik, but outside of the capital, there are only about 100,000 plus people that live throughout the entire country. So you pass by these really remote, isolated farmsteads, and I thought, aha, this is perfect setting for a murder mystery. So I, to answer your question, I did that research by going to the company, by going to Iceland. I went to Iceland, I think it's been 6 or 7 times now, primarily so that I could get really, really understand the full flavor of the country and the culture. I feel it's very unfair for some person in Southern California to be writing about an entirely different culture without fully, I don't know, fully, but as fully as I could understand it. So I did a lot of reading, but I also did a lot of traveling, talking to people and so forth.
That's amazing. So you're a cancer survivor or a thriver, as you put it. How did that change how you see the world?
It certainly threw me for a loop at first, because ovarian cancer is not one of those that you really want to hear. But I was fortunate in that it was caught quite early, so I was completely cured, knock on wood. And it absolutely gave me a much greater appreciation for life and for family and friends and for living every day. And I just felt like, stuff happens, and we never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I would say it's given me a much greater sense of gratitude. And that's why I call it Thriver, because I felt like it did make me really thrive in terms of, enjoying every aspect of life.
Fantastic. So yeah, and you talk about Iceland a lot. Your books are there. Why are you so drawn to Iceland? Like, what draws you there?
I think the two reasons were the fact that they had this DNA database, and I knew that I could incorporate that into the mystery because the protagonist actually is a forensic geneticist, and so she uses this database to actually solve crimes. And Iceland is ha has until recently been a very isolated country, and most everyone until recently are related to one another. And so I thought that this could be a relatively straightforward way of tracking criminals as well. But it turns out that the database is actually also very controversial because our DNA doesn't belong just to us alone. It belongs to, I mean, our immediate relatives, kids, siblings, parents all share half of your DNA. And so it's quite controversial in some ways to people that have not contributed their DNA, because they feel, oh, well, okay, my sister did, so now half mine's there anyway. And I don't know if I answered your question, but I just thought part of it was this DNA database, And then the other part was just all those wonderful quirks that they have and the foods that they eat and just how they've had to survive. Not recently, they're doing quite well recently, but in the past, how they really had to persevere and survive with the elements being what they are.
Now, before I want to get into the book, but like I am fascinated by the idea of that database. What was your initial learning about it? What was your initial as a former geneticist, like your initial kind of like reaction to hearing about that was such a thing?
I was actually quite surprised that I don't know of any other country that has that type of database where there, I mean, many countries have a criminal database where, criminals have had to contribute their DNA. So I was actually quite surprised at first to learn of it. And then I sort of got interested in the controversial aspects of it too. Because then there's, this antagonist in the book that's really opposed to the DNA database for several reasons. And it still is quite controversial. There's, people that have contributed their DNA voluntarily. As everyone that has contributed their DNA has voluntarily, they have had to sign a letter of consent, which prevents them from gaining any personal information from the use of their DNA. But as it turns out, there are certain genetic diseases like breast cancer that are very tightly linked in many cases to one particular gene. And so this company knows which women actually carry that genetic
Wow.
disease, but yet at the same time, they can't tell them about it. So that's
Wow.
controversial in itself too. And I know it's something that they're working on.
Wow. Yeah. No,
Yeah.
that's a whole other podcast, but that's fascinating. Oh, wow. Now, can you tell me about Ivory Bones?
Yeah, so this book is the first book is set entirely in Iceland. We won't talk about that book right now, but this second book is, as I mentioned, historical fiction. So in 1627, and this is real historical fact, the Barbary pirates from North Africa raided Iceland, and they took 400 villagers, like completely unsuspecting villagers, took them captive back to North Africa and sold them as slaves. So we have this piece of the book that is written by one of those captives as a diary. Well, along the way, she had with her these extremely valuable chess pieces. Most people have not heard of them either, and they're called the Lewis chessmen. They were carved in the 12th century out of walrus ivory, and they have these animated, almost comical features. And most of them are in the British Museum today. One was found in 2000. There's still three or four pieces missing, but one was found in 2019 in Edinburgh in some old lady's bureau drawer,
Wow.
after she passed away. And it was sold at auction for almost $2 million. So they're
Wow.
all extremely valuable. And so there are clues in this diary as to where they might be hidden in Iceland. And so we have all sorts of people trying to find them, some for, noble purposes and some for not so noble purposes. And so therein lies the murder mystery. So it sort of toggles back and forth between reading the diary and learning about this slave's experience in North Africa. And in that diary, she's got clues as to where the Lewis chessmen are. And then it toggles back to the present where this forensic geneticist and others are trying to figure out, decipher these clues in the diary as to where they could be.
Awesome. Now, did you have more fun kind of with the research and putting it all together, or the writing, like the creating of this world?
I love both. As you can probably guess, I love doing research because I was in science for so long. And so sometimes I would get a little carried away with doing the research, but I truly love, getting to the bottom of, the historical aspects of it and so forth. And then the writing of it, I obviously enjoyed the writing of it as well. This time around, with the first book, I had not written an outline, but I found that with the second book, it was much more, it was quite helpful to have written an outline because it's easier to see, how all the pieces fit together, rather than coming up with this great idea like halfway through the book and then having to go back and say, oh, in chapter two, that's not going to make any sense. So this time around, I did write an outline, and I think it just made the writing of it a lot. It made the story flow. Like, I think that the pace is a lot faster, and for me, it was easier to write that way. I know authors all have their own styles, but for me, that's the way I went.
So what is your process? Say, so you're starting a new book, like what's your process like to get A to Z?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I tried to do is I love to learn about something that I might not have been previously aware of. And I think that's why I enjoy reading historical fiction, because it's very entertaining, but at the same time, you learn something. So this time around, so basically, I had learned that these Lewis chessmen could well have been carved just in reading about Iceland. I knew about the pirate raid in 1627. I knew that the Lewis chessmen could well have been carved in Iceland. And so I just created this mystery, surrounding the two of them and put those pieces together. And I'll do the same with my third book, which is going to involve, indigenous Inuit people and the effects of, these rare earth mining on neurological diseases. And so it sounds kind of boring, but I'll make it interesting, don't worry. But Greenland's a pretty hot topic at the moment, and so I've been doing a lot of research on that too.
Oh, so are the rare earth minerals, as it turns out. So yeah, so it's interesting. That's super timely. With you've mentioned earlier, with both your books kind of follow the same main character. They're all going to be tied together. Kind of a two-pronged question. Why are you so drawn to that character? And do you see this kind of you're going to kind of play it by ear to see how many books she's in, or
I think that I'm fairly certain that this will be a trilogy and that this third book will be the end of that trilogy. The first two books did center primarily on this forensic geneticist and trying to, solve various murders and crimes and so forth. I am going to have to carry some of those same characters forward. But since the main protagonist in the first two books is Icelandic and works and lives in Reykjavik, her assistant is actually Danish. And Greenland is part of the Kingdom of Denmark. They're not a colony, although many people feel colonized, many Greenlanders do feel colonized by them. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I'm going to have still this main protagonist do the forensic spin on it, but I'm going to have her assistant, who is Danish, and this young kind of Gen Z, very smart, but kind of quirky and fun girl, actually go to Greenland. And so she has been a character in the first two books, but she will primarily be the protagonist in this third one.
Oh, that's awesome. Fantastic. So you have mentioned also, like, you kind of mix fiction with real history. Is it fun to kind of do that and kind of just look into the shadows a little about what, not necessarily what isn't, but what could be perhaps?
Yeah, I had always heard about this pirate raid on Iceland, 1627, but in truth, I did not really fully appreciate the horror of it all, and the fact that these poor, villagers that are, just out fishing or doing what they can to survive, were suddenly overtaken by these pirates from North Africa. I have already forgotten the question you
No, you're fine. No, I just asked,
asked.
is it fun to kind of mix the fiction with the historical, kind of, meet them in the
Yes,
middle?
absolutely. And the captive, the woman that writes the diary, is a fictional character. But all of the events that happened to her actually did happen to many of the slaves that were taken during that raid. And so I have her writing the diary, not like as in the past tense, like, oh, yesterday I was, embroidering my skirt and blah, blah, blah. I have her like in the very first person point of view, like seeing these pirate ships descend upon Iceland, and then have her like so that the reader can really feel the immediacy of the experience of those slaves. And I myself did not know a lot about it, and I do believe that many people do not know of that kind of little known piece of history of these. And people have sort of heard of the Barbary Pirates, but not to the extent that I delved into it in the book. And so I had a good time like toggling back and forth between writing the diary, and there is a sort of a thematic element between this young woman captive who basically loses everything, her homeland, her lover, or she's 16, or boyfriend, I guess we would call it. She has been forced to leave everything behind. And yet, the protagonist, the present day protagonist, this forensic geneticist, chooses to forgo a relationship with her lover because she's afraid that. So in the first book, you learn that her father did some pretty awful things, and she's worried about, passing on her own, that she might have some evil lurking in her genes. So she doesn't want to get married. She doesn't want to have children. So she chooses to forgo these relationships. And by following the story of the captive, she kind of realizes that she's being really, that her beliefs are false ones.
I was gonna ask, with writing about genetics and having had a career in that world, did you find it difficult kind of presenting it in a way that doesn't alienate the reader but also does justice to it?
I did. I spent a lot of time and effort and thought on doing that because most people don't, are not geneticists and or scientists at all in general. And so I did explain it in like it's not the central piece of the mystery, but I did have to describe in sort of engaging layman's terms what some aspects of genetics were that could help solve the mystery. And I tried not to overexplain. I tried not to bore the reader. I tried to just put it in there in a way. I mean, as I said before, when I'm reading historical fiction or any kind of fiction, I like to learn something. And so I'm hopeful that that the readers of my book will also maybe enjoy learning a little bit about genetics, but mostly just enjoy the story.
I mean, I think you're definitely writing in the right kind of genre because you're going to get people that want they want that. They want that information, just that's not going to push them away. So that's fantastic. Have you gotten a chance to do a lot of book signings and kind of, shows where you get to meet the folks face to face?
Yeah, I've done a number of bookstore signings. I've done quite a number of radio interviews. You're back east too, I think,
Yes,
right?
yep, and yep, we're in the mitten, yep.
And so I've done a lot of radio interviews like back east and throughout the country really. And some book signings as well, including local bookstores, primarily local bookstores.
That's amazing. Still amazing. It's like it's a much different experience, when you see a review online or something, and someone's like, "Oh, that's great," but like meeting someone who is it's a stranger, they're buying your book is very it's very kind of very powerful because it's they have no investment in you, so it's awesome.
And it's also fun to go to some book clubs, which I've been invited to
Oh, neat.
because these are people that are obviously enjoy reading, and just as you say, they want to learn in person, what the process of writing was, what how you came up with the ideas. What started you on that journey, and so forth and so on. So I've done quite a few book clubs as well, which I guess you could consider book
Well,
signings.
hey, no,
But
it's all interaction. So it all counts to me. So that's great. And it is interesting how so many folks like because they don't think in like as a writer. They just think it's such an alien thing to them. They just don't know how can you, much like an artist, you're like, how can you see that and connect it? So it's interesting to talk to people about that and you kind of see it from their side.
And I didn't start writing until after I had already had a career in science. And so I do also talk to people about that, that have maybe thought, oh, I'm too old to like start writing a book. I don't know what I'm doing. But I just encourage them to just, whatever you can do, just put down as much or a little as you can do at any one time, and let it go from there. I think Eleanor Roosevelt said it best when she said, one of her quotes was, "Do something every day that scares you." And I think that writing, like if a person wants to write a book, it often can be kind of intimidating thinking, how am I going to write, 300, 400 pages, and when I've never done anything like that? So it can be a little bit intimidating, but it's also very rewarding. And I don't know, I saw it as a challenge, and I do like a challenge.
Absolutely. And it is interesting because it is like a little bit like tuning a radio station away from the fuzz and into like the steady signal. So you can kind of like focus and then those pages kind of come to you like more naturally than you imagine. It's just once you kind of get in your groove.
Yes, exactly. You kind of get into that world, and then more and more comes to you. So I would just encourage people just to start and see where it goes. And if you find it's not working, it's not working, but you'd be surprised that,
Fantastic. Now, last kind of booky question. What do you hope folks get out of your books? Specifically this one, but like just any, your writing.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope that that they are engaged by the storyline, the mystery, and the beginnings of it and how it comes about, but also, as I've mentioned, learning something along the way.
Fantastic. Now, where can folks find your books? Like, where would, I mean, I know they can find them here and there, but where would you send them?
So obviously, as with anything, you can find it on Amazon. You can also request it from Barnes and Noble. You can request it from any of your local independent bookstores. There is also an organization, I don't know if you call it an org, I guess it is an organization, called bookshop.org, which supports independent bookstores, and you can actually purchase it through them directly as well. And then
Awesome.
I do have also a web page, which is my entire name. I don't know if I should spell it for you.
I will absolutely put it out in the closer for this too. So if you don't want to, like, I will make sure, like, to have it
Okay,
as part of it. So.
because it's my first name it's Sarah, but no H, and then the last name is sort of an unusual name too. So, but I do have my own website, which is sarahwinoker.com, and there's a lot of information in there, not just about the books, but about traveling to Iceland, about the background, about some experiences I've had traveling, and so forth. So there's a lot in the website that people could explore.
Fantastic. I cannot thank you enough for joining me. I wish you all the best with this book, and I am
Thank
excited
you.
to hear about, I was going to ask you when you might target when the third one is, but I mean, you're just getting into it, so I don't want to start like getting in your head. So it comes out
Well,
when.
I'm hoping to get it out there by next year.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the first book, of course, took a bit longer because it was my first book. This second book took a couple of years to write. And I think now I can, I've already got the story and plot line and everything in my head, so I think I can get it out by next year.
Fantastic. Again, I can't thank you enough. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a
Thanks.
lot of fun.
Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
You. One more time, I want to thank author Sarah Winoker for joining me. That was a fantastic discussion. Her book sounds amazing, and that is Ivory Bones, The Lewis Chessman Murders. And as she said, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it from your local independent booksellers, which that may be, if you can do that, do that. Like, let's support the independent places, but there's a lot of options to get this. You can find all of the info about this book and her first book at her website, and that is sarahwinoker.com, and that's SARAWINOKUR.com. She also is on Facebook as Sarah Winoker Author, and she's on Instagram as Sarah_Winoker. And these, if you are into mysteries and thrillers, these sound like just perfect books for you. And I think you will be very, very pleased. And I thank her for making some time for me. And I thank you for coming along for the journey. If this is your first time, welcome. I am an author myself. You can find all my stuff at my website, spookychris.com. It's all on Amazon, blah, blah, blah. Put a whole bunch of stuff up. So you can listen to other podcasts and learn all about that. This one's about Sarah Winoker, Winoker. Gotta get that in my head. And again, you can find all my podcasts and everything else at spookychris.com. And I will talk to you soon, my friend. Take care.